Welcome to MLB from CDA Baseball. I'm your host, James Morris. With me today is Campbell. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you, James.
Officially, I don't know, maybe kind of a real-time guest now, so congratulations.
Yeah, hopefully I can appear more times.
Yeah. Well, first thing we could talk about is, I just want to get Eduardo Escobar for the... Which team is he on again?
Mets.
The Mets. Hit for the cycle. Eduardo Escobar, I believe, is a former Diamondback, former Brewer. Is solid player. But he hit for the cycle. He had a triple, home run, single, and a double. And the Mets are lucky to have him. But tell us what you think about Eduardo Escobar and what you see in his future.
First Mets hitter to get a cycle in 10 years? But it's pretty special. I don't know too much about him outside of that. I'm sure he's not a bad player. He's one of those guys, I think, to me, that you want to keep around, but not like a franchise cornerstone, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Pulling up his stats right now. He is a third baseman, and he looks like he played for the Twins for a little while. He probably knows Carlos Correa pretty well. My gosh.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know, because I don't. No. Oh, okay, so he's a White Sox, a Twins, Diamondbacks, Brewers, and Mets.
Yeah, so Mets pretty recent. Mets is his most recent team.
Statistics.
It's not too much on him. I mean, he's not a bad player, but he's not a great player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could probably pull in $1.5 million, but nothing too special.
Yeah. So his stats are not great, but not bad. He's batting .243. He struck out 56 times, but he has 5 home runs. Played 55 games, 24 RBIs, 22 walks. Anything that really jumps out at you in those stats right there?
Just the walks. I mean, they're not terrible. It's a good amount of walks. I think that's a good amount of walks to have. So that's something that I would be happy with with my hitters.
Yeah. Well, so he played for the White Sox for 2 years in 2011, 2012. 9 years, I believe, for the Twins, maybe 8. 4 years with Diamondbacks, 1 year with the Brewers, and then I think he signed a 2 or 3 year contract with the Mets. So since we're talking about the Mets, let's talk about the Mets. The Mets are, as of right now, the best team in MLB. They have 38 wins and 21 losses.
Aren't the Yankees? The Yankees
have
41.
Oh, yeah,
the
Yankees have the best record in baseball. 41, yeah. Yeah. The Mets have 38 wins, second best in MLB, with 21 losses. So I guess best record in the National League.
Yeah.
Plus 64 run differential. So that's there. But first thing I want to say is the Mets, they have a great record, obviously. Mm-hmm. And they're without Trevor McGill. They're without Max Scherzer. And they're without Jacob DeGrom. So when they do come back, this lineup's going to be amazing. And when those guys do come back, well, I guess Trevor McGill did come back today. But what do you think, how good do you think they can be with those guys?
Just right now, if I were a Mets fan, you're gonna have to take a little bit right now in the near future, because you got a lot of your guys injured. You're not gonna be doing as well. Probably gonna win one or two less games, maybe 3 or 4. But for the future, I'd be very excited. The Mets are a serious contender, and I think that if they can make it to the postseason and not completely implode, then they're going to dominate. But if they do typical Mets fashion and implode, then they might not.
Yeah, so their starting rotation is phenomenal. Carlos Carrasco, 7-1, 3.52 ERA. Trevor McGill, his first game back, he's 4-2 with a 4.41 ERA. Chris Bassett, Jacob DeGrom, Max Scherzer, all of them are really solid. But take a quick look at their roster. They just newly added Mark Canaha, or whatever you want to say his name.
Mark Canna.
Starling Marte, they added. They added, obviously, Max Scherzer. They added a lot of players. Trevor Williams, because a lot of their stars have gotten hurt. But with this Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, this whole lineup, do you think they really have a chance at the World Series?
Definitely. The big problem with the Mets, how it's been for the past couple of years, is they can't score runs. The pitching is there. The pitching is great. But they just can't score runs. And this offseason, the general manager and the ownership, they did a really good job at fixing the main problem, which was the run differential. If you remember in 2015 and 2016
and 2021, I think.
They in 2015, 2016, 2020 and 2021, their main problems were that they just couldn't really score runs. In 2015, of course, they made it to the World Series, but during the regular season, the runs scored weren't really there until you added Cespedes. But now you guys have multiple guys that maybe aren't as good, but are still very serviceable hitters.
Yeah. So overall, the Mets are solid. A lot of people have said the Mets, the Dodgers, and even the Cardinals have a chance of going into the World Series. I know it's a little too early to tell, but it's always fun to make those predictions. So Mets are solid. Next, we could talk about Josh Hader. Josh Hader gave up his first home run or run in 2 years.
He gave up two home runs.
Yeah, two home runs, but
very, very uncharacteristic. It's unfortunate because, I mean, you love to see a guy like him thrive, but...
So, he went almost 2 years without giving up a single run. I believe that's the right stat.
No, that's not.
Well...
Where are you looking? Because that's not false. That's not real.
Well, so he had 1.23 ERA in 2021 and gave up his first runs of this year against the Phillies.
Did he? Yeah, he only has two earned runs this entire season, which both are off of home runs, which isn't really good. But
So he against the Phillies in the bottom of the ninth inning, the Phillies set back-to-back home runs to win it against the Brewers, and Josh Hader almost always gets that save for him, and it didn't work out very well.
Yeah, I've heard him been called what's the nickname? Something. I mean, like, you just bring him in, it makes you want to change the channel if you're watching your favorite team because you know the game's over, but. That one appearance, I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Well, it looks like, I think when I was watching, it looked like the hitters were reading his slider a lot more, and his fastball wasn't as fast as it normally was. I don't know if that's true or not, but I don't know.
Yeah, that'll really just kill you sometimes. If your fastball is going is not going as fast, it's hard to just blow it right by guys.
Mm-hmm.
And if the hitters are picking up your slider, it gets a little difficult, especially in your head, because you're thinking that's your out pitch. That's what you do to get swings and misses and to get strikeouts. But it's just if it's not working, then it makes you really nervous inside, and you start trying things that maybe you haven't tried too much. Maybe you're not as good at it, and if you slip up, things could happen. People could hit home runs
for sure. And Josh Hader, I guess every single person makes a mistake. If you're somehow listening to this podcast, you're still good. But, I know you're not listening to it, but maybe. All right, so now we can go top 5 or top 10 power rankings. Which one do you feel more
vibe? I think I'm a rock with my top 5 just for now. There's so many teams, and it's so hard, so early in the season.
Yeah, so... MLB ranked the power rankings top 5 as number 5th with the best power rankings. Mm-hmm. San Diego Padres. The Padres needed to be good after they got swept by the Cardinals. And Joe Musgrove got provided that, without a doubt. And Fernando Tatis Jr., he's going to miss a lot. But CJ Abrams did well for a little while, I guess. But they need to get a true shortstop for a while he's gone. But Manny Machado having an MVP year this year.
Oh, man, he's doing great.
But a lot of people are saying that Padres could be in a World Series threat.
I think that the ranking might be underselling them a little bit. I would personally put Brewers at number 5 and then put Padres at number 4. I think right now they're not amazing, but their potential is really, really there. They just need to get their they just need to get Nando back, and I feel like they could start winning a lot of games.
Mm-hmm. And Fernando Tatis Jr., he's hurt for a couple more months more now. Well, maybe not quite.
Maybe like another month, maybe three more weeks.
Yeah.
He's coming. I saw a video of him taking ground balls. It really is unfortunate that he got hurt because he's just a fun player to mm-hmm. such a fun player to watch play. But
yeah. So, and number four ranked by MLB, the Houston Astros. And here's a big topic we should talk about. Yordan Alvarez contract extension is a win-win for both sides. He's all easy. The one of the best hitters in at least the American League. And he's served a very good driving force behind Houston's success this season and last season, pretty much their entire season. But they got the Angels in the AL West, and they were simply just waiting to see how the Astros stack up their league competition with their teams. But what are your thoughts on this team?
I don't really like MLB's placement of them at number four. I'd maybe put them at six or seven. I don't even think eight. I don't think eight would be terrible. But I mean, I know they still have guys, but all their stars are aging a little bit more. Michael Brantley's like 36.
Mm-hmm. Gurriel's not playing well either.
Yuli Gurriel's he was in his prime when he was like 34. Now he's, I don't know, he must be some age. He was old. Bregman's aging. Altuve's aging. He's like 34 now.
Yeah.
They don't have their star outfield like they used to. Their best outfielders are Michael Brantley and Yordan Alvarez. But Alvarez barely even plays the outfield. He's a terrible defender, but mm-hmm. boy can he hit.
Yep. Well, his stats, batting .299, 17 home runs, 38 RBIs, 51 games, 184 at-bats. So, solid player, obviously, especially. He's a home run hitter. He can hit for average as well.
I've been hearing a lot of David Ortiz comparisons, and that guy, he made it into the Hall of Fame. If you're being compared to a Hall of Fame player and franchise cornerstone, it's not something that you really want to just like forget about for a guy.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt, Yordan Alvarez is a lefty that crushes balls. Number three, the New York Mets. I disagree with this one. I think at the very least, number seven for the Yankees. But I think the Mets, the Mets are going to be, just literally just talk about them. They have decent hitters. Their pitching is obviously probably the best MLB. If it's not, it will be. But they split a series with Los Angeles. Los Angeles, arguably the best team in the NL. And so is the Mets. We kind of already talked about this, but what do you think they deserve to be three in power rankings?
I kind of think it's a toss-up. I think right now they deserve to be three, yes, because of injuries. I think they would be. I think with all their players healthy, they could be one of those bouncing in between like two or bouncing in between one and two. But I think right now three is reasonable. But with everybody healthy, they're definitely going to be a number one or number two team bouncing around there.
Number two, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I think respectively too. The Dodgers have dropped in power rankings, but they are not playing against the Pittsburgh Pirates well, which is unusual.
It's pretty crazy. They're not at all a good team. There's no reason why they should be losing.
Yeah.
But I mean, it happens, I guess. It's not great to watch as a fan. I mean, your team's spending so much money just to get swept by the Pirates. But I mean, they're kind of bringing it back. They had a series win against the White Sox, a series tie against the Mets. I mean, they did only go 2-for-5 in their 7-game homestand, which isn't very good. But
the Dodgers, though,
I think once they get their pitching in check, they're definitely going to be unstoppable.
Oh yeah. I mean, Buehler's not having a very good year. I mean, he's good. He's just not. And then Julio Urias is not doing very good either.
Julio Urias is not doing great. Yeah, Buehler's imploding. Kershaw's doing actually pretty good, but he got hurt. Tyler Anderson, he's an out of nowhere good player.
Yeah.
Tony Gonsolin, he hasn't lost a game yet that he's pitched. He's got a pretty nice ERA.
Mm-hmm.
One other guy. Here's the Yankees. What was his name? It's been so long since he pitched. I'm starting to forget it.
Let me check. Left, righty or lefty?
Lefty. It's another thing. The Dodgers have a lot of lefty starters. They have like four.
So
it's more than usual, which is good.
Is it Justin Buehl?
No.
Not Tyler Anderson.
David Price.
No, not David Price.
David Price is good too.
Yeah, he's. I mean, he's not 2012 David Price, but he's not bad. Shoot. I don't know. He's hurt right now, so I don't know exactly.
Andrew Heaney?
Yes, Andrew Heaney. Yes. Yeah. Him. He's been doing uncharacteristically good. If you're a Yankees fan last season, you'll know he wasn't too great. But I think when all the pitchers get back, I think they're just going to be a very, very good team like they're so used to being.
Mm-hmm. Number one, the New York Yankees. Most wins in baseball. Gerrit Cole almost pitched a perfect game. The Yankees now have the second best ERA in baseball. Giancarlo Stanton's crushing the baseball. Aaron Judge is crushing baseballs. Everything's going in the right direction for the Yankees. So they obviously have a chance at the World Series. Out of all the teams, who do you think has the most chance of winning the World Series, at least being in it?
If the Yankees can keep how they're going, it's going to be them for sure. But right now, I'd say my top two are probably Dodgers and Yankees. Maybe Mets? I don't know. I don't really expect the Dodgers to make it to the World Series, but I also don't really expect the Mets to make it to the World Series just because they're the Mets. So for them, it's kind of a toss-up to me. I would not at all be opposed to seeing an NLCS against them, which I'd personally much rather see than the World Series. But I think definitely I'm taking Yankees for AL.
Yeah. So Yankees, like, crazy good. They've been playing phenomenal. Real fast. The Angels have lost 14 in a row. They just won, I think, yesterday.
Oh yeah, but they finally snapped it.
Yeah, but what made them lose 14?
I think just everything, really. Their bullpen wasn't doing good. They weren't hitting. Their stars weren't hitting as well as they'd want them to. Ohtani and Trout, Trout was had a record, like a career record for hitless streak. Ohtani hasn't been last year's self, which I did predict, by the way. So if you thought I was crazy, that's a you problem. Their pitchers just haven't been too good. They don't really have too many amazing pitchers, but for what they have, they've been doing worse than what I would expect.
Mm-hmm.
Their bullpen hasn't been great. It's giving up a lot of home runs, like that grand slam to Bryce Harper and then the three run to Bryson Stott. It's just a collection of everything that could go wrong going wrong. Of course, Trout's hurt now, so that's even worse for them.
And what's going on with Trout? Do you know what's going on there? We don't know even how long he's going to be out for.
I mean, of course, the obvious answer is he's getting older. He's kind of falling out of his prime a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think for a player of his caliber, it's not really what you could expect. What I'm really nervous about right now is the same, like, Albert Pujols situation. How he was amazing, just amazing for the first 10, 11 years of his career. But then he got traded to the Angels and he starts falling off. I'm just hoping that the same thing will happen to Mike Trout.
Yep. The Angels lost 14 in a row.
Yeah.
Finally won.
It's so sad because I would really love to see the Angels in the postseason. It's just one of those things that you don't get to see too often.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do, it really makes you feel good. So it doesn't... It was really hard to watch. I'm not necessarily who you call an Angels fan, but every night I'd always look on YouTube or something and watch the recap of the game, just praying that they'd win. It got really demoralizing at times, and I feel bad for all the Angels fans because they finally had a glimpse of hope, and now they're below 500, which they're used to. But after what they saw their team could be, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, and so now let's talk about the All-Star voting. All-Star voting's back. All-Stars. And first base National League, I voted for Paul Goldschmidt, batting .338 with 12 dingers and 47 RBIs. You cannot go wrong.
I definitely have Goldschmidt as my lock for NL first baseman. I think he just, I mean, he has 1,000 OPS. That's amazing. 12 home runs. He's driving in runs. He had a very long hitting streak going, which was unfortunately snapped, but. Yeah, I think definitely him for the NL. For the AL?
AL is so confusing. So Luis Arraez batting .359, two home runs, 14 RBIs. That's pretty good. But you got Jose Abreu, who's overall probably better. Ty France, who's overall better. Vladimir Guerrero's overall, you know, better. But I have to go with Ty France just because he's batting .327 and nine home runs and 38 RBIs. But I think I like... I don't know. I think I have to go Ty France on that. It's confusing, though. Bobby Dalbec is not doing too well, but...
Yeah, he's not doing too great.
Ty France, I think.
France is doing good. It's hard for me because he has less home runs than Anthony Rizzo. Anthony Rizzo would be my other pick, by the way. It's hard because he has less home runs than Anthony Rizzo. He has almost 100 better batting average, a little bit better OPS. It's a bit of a toss-up for me, but I think I'm going to have to go with Ty France as well.
Good.
Just pretty reliable, and that's kind of the type of guy you want to have.
And I think the hardest position right now to do is second base. So second base, what I voted for a little bit ago for second base is Jazz Chisholm Jr. Just because his home runs there, his power's there, and no one really else matches that talent right there, except maybe Brendan Rodgers. I don't know. But second base for National League and American League is very tough. But who would you vote for then?
I think Jazz for second base is good. No one's really performing too well.
But Tyro Estrada.
Tyro Estrada. Estrada's good. He's not great. I wouldn't take him personally, and not just because he's a Giant, because I don't like the Giants. I just don't think he's as good as Jazz Chisholm, and he's not as fun to watch.
Okay, second base for American League is probably the toughest.
American League? I think I'm going to go Andrés Giménez on this one. He has an 875 OPS. He's hitting above 300. He has 7 home runs, 31 RBIs, and he's getting very hot lately. Probably the second best hitter on the Guardians.
Okay, well, we're actually voting right now for this. And so this is really hard for me because there's four players that I think are equal for third base National League. Nolan Arenado, Key Brian Hayes, Manny Machado, and Austin Raleigh are all, like, the best players you can ever see. And so, actually, since you get 5 votes a day, I voted once for each of them. But, Campbell, since you have not quite voted yet, you pick. And tell us why.
I'm sure if you've listened before, you know I'm a Dodgers fan. But, personally, I'm offended that you're taking Austin Raleigh over Manny Machado. Bro is hitting insane. A 944 OPS, 36 RBIs, 9 home runs, 329 batting average. He's doing very good. Arenado's doing very good as well, but not nearly as good. 273 average, 10 home runs, 39 RBI, an 829 OPS. I think my lock for National League All-Star third baseman is going to have to go to Manny Machado.
Manny Machado, yep.
There's a lot of good third basemen this season, but none quite like him.
Brandon Drury, if you're listening somehow, you deserve some votes, okay? But no one's going to vote for you, but you deserve some votes. You really are good.
Yeah, he is doing pretty good. 844 OPS, 11 home runs. It's good. It's a good thing you want from you. It's good getting that out of a hitter, especially you're probably not paying him too much for the Reds.
Yeah, and we just got him off waivers. He's not like this caliber player we signed a free agent or anything.
Uh-huh.
American League third base is
American League.
It's easy.
J-Ram.
Yeah, I was J-Ram. Gonna say J-Ram or Tim or yeah,
just J-Ram.
Jose Ramirez for sure.
It's barely even a conversation.
Shortstop National League. National League? I voted for Trey Turner. Ease.
Yeah, his OPS is pretty high. It's 835.
His average is solid.
He's 302. He's hitting 302. 7 home runs, 46 RBI, and he's getting a little bit hotter lately. I think he's a guy I want to take. Lindor's doing good, but he has a bit lower of an OPS.
And I think the next guy is Tommy Edman.
Yeah.
If you can vote for second place.
If I would vote for second place, I'd probably go Lindor. But I think my vote is going to have to go to Trey Turner.
Miguel Rojas is playing pretty well, I guess, late as of late.
I mean, he's hitting good, but not too well in the season.
Before we go into shortstop for American League, this Jeremy Pena.
Jeremy
Pena? Is it too early to tell him that he's going to win the Rookie of the Year?
I would say so, yes. The Rookie of the Year race is very tight right now.
It is very. Bobby Witt Jr., Julio Rodriguez, Jeremy Pena, but I think Jeremy Pena is going to win.
I think there's a lot of good guys. I think if Jeremy Pena can keep it up, he's going to win. But if he slows down at all and any of the other guys heat up, there's no way.
Yeah. So
it's such a tight race.
American League shortstop, I voted for Xander Bogaerts twice and Tim Anderson 3 times. The reason I voted for Tim Anderson is because of the average, 356, 19 RBIs. You can never go wrong with that. But Xander Bogaerts, he has more RBIs and more home runs, and he's batting 319. And I think as an all-star, Xander Bogaerts is better. But who do you go for?
I think I'm going to have to take Tim Anderson just because the average is really high. The OPS is better than Bogaerts.
Of course, less home runs, less RBI, but I don't know exactly where Bogaerts hits in the lineup, but Tim Anderson's hitting a little higher in the lineup, and at those points you're not really looking for a guy who's going to hit a lot of home runs or get a lot of RBI. You're looking for a guy who's going to have a good OPS like Anderson does, or a good average like Anderson does.
And for National League catcher, I think this is the easiest decision in the world. But before I tell anything, most catchers here are batting low 200s. 190s, 230s, you know, anything like that. And then you just scroll down a little more on the screen. 305? What? It's Tyler Stevenson.
Whoa,
Tyler Reds.
Stevenson. Whoa,
yeah,
he's so good.
It's amazing. But Wilson Contreras is close, but, I mean, I'm a Reds fan, and I mean, with all my heart, I seriously believe Tyler Stevenson deserves to be an all-star, but I guess you're voting here.
I think... I know you're a Reds fan. I have to take Wilson Contreras.
OPS is a lot better.
The average is a little worse. More home runs.
And the OPS.
Is there more?
I believe it's OPS is better.
The OPS is a bit better.
You're an outfielder.
I actually went too far.
right there.
Where is Tyler Stevenson?
Right, 829 OPS for Stevenson. And
he has a couple.
933 for Contreras.
He has a bit more RBI. The only
stats that he's beating him in is RBI and average. Which, I mean, average is important, but I think I'd personally take the OPS and the home runs over the average and the RBI.
And I don't think there's a single solid catcher in the American League catcher. Christian Vasquez is probably the next best.
Vasquez,
he's batting 279 with only 2 home runs. I mean, the rest of these guys, Tom Murphy batting 303, ooh, but only 1 RBI. That's off a home run.
Yeah, 1 home run, 1 RBI.
So he's probably not playing that much. But all these guys... 131. Oh, look at Alexander Kirk right there.
Oh,
165,
yeah.
165, 167, 129, 230. None of the catchers are that good, but I think we have to go with Alexander Kirk there. He's silent but deadly.
I think we're going to have to take Alejandro Kirk because, I mean, he's hitting 322, 5 home runs, 16 RBIs, 878 OPS. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially out of a catcher who you're not really expecting much out of. So I think I'm going to have to take
overall,
Kirk.
I don't think he's an all-star catcher, but he's a lot better than any other American League catchers around here. Maybe not catching-wise, but hitting-wise.
Most certainly, yes.
And now National League catcher, this is tough for me. So I voted...
No, outfielders.
Outfielders. I voted for Ron Acuna, Mookie Betts, and who else? I voted for... And also, I voted for... Juan Soto. So, Juan Soto, Ronald Acuna Jr., and Mookie Betts. That's who I voted for. You take your pick. Any of these outfielders could win it. I mean, even Charlie Blackmon. So, all these players are solid.
I kind of rock with that selection. Those are a lot of really good hitters. Jock Peterson is hitting great, but... Only against right-handed hitting?
Yeah.
Right-handed pitching? I think that means he's good, but he's very situational. You want to have a bit better of a...
Suzuki.
You want to have a bit better of a guy.
And Seiya Suzuki, though. I mean,
yeah. Seiya Suzuki's doing good.
But I think you can vote for three guys.
I know. Where? Why doesn't it show me?
Who?
It's not. I'm not seeing.
Who?
Soto. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Here we go.
So Juan Soto, obviously having a bad year, but he's batting .225, 12 home runs, 20 RBIs. That's a horrible year for him, but that's still pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it. You know you're good when a bad year for you would be a career year for a fair amount of other players.
Yeah. And now, American League outfield. So I voted for, what can I see? Byron Buxton. I think he's amazing. He got speed. He can play the outfield. He has a decent average.
I can agree with that. I'd take Buxton.
All right, so I'll put that in. Buxton. And then I also vote for Aaron Judge. I don't think there's a single soul on the earth who did not vote for him. 310, 22 home runs, 45 RBIs, 1,000 OPS.
It's an easy pick right there. It always makes you feel good when you have one guy on there that's just, oh yeah, he's going to the
outfield. This is hard. So you got Luis Robert, who's solid. Also Julio Rodriguez, I really want to vote for. Giancarlo Stanton. Mike Trout as well, but guys, I have to go with Taylor Ward, batting .333, 10 dingers, 26 RBIs, 1,000 OPS as well.
I think I'm gonna take Ward too.
All right.
Trout's good, but he's been kind of skidding recently.
And lastly, DH for both teams. I voted for, you can pick, I put Bryce Harper and Jordan Alvarez for designated hitter for American League National League, but take your pick and tell us why.
I think I'm going to agree with that. I think I'm going to take Yordan Alvarez, and I think I'm going to take Bryce Harper.
Oh, there's Ohtani as well, and JD Martinez.
Ohtani's not hitting.
And Mancini.
Ohtani's not hitting great. Martinez is hitting good, but not as good as Alvarez. So is Mancini. But really, I think I'm going to have to take Alvarez and Harper.
All right, so we'll make this really quick so you don't get bored out. But National League, Paul Goldsmith, Jazz Chisholm, Manny Machado, Trey Turner, Ronald Acuna, Mookie Betts, Juan Soto, Wilson Contreras, and Bryce Harper. American League, Ty France, Andrés Giménez, Jose Ramirez, Tim Anderson, Byron Buxton, Aaron Judge, Taylor Ward, Alejandro, or whatever you're going to say his name,
Alejandro Kirk,
and Yordan Alvarez. If you want to do that, you can.
Yeah.
But lastly, wait, can I just finish the podcast?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to put it in, don't worry.
All right. Lastly, we're going to talk about, as always, every podcast, stat and standing leaders. We'll do stats leaders first. We talked about this guy a little bit already, Luis
Arraez
for the Twins. He's batting .359, which is the most in MLB right now.
It's crazy.
He's kind of an under-the-radar guy, and he does not hit for power, but he hits for average. And tell us what you think about him. Okay, you need to get close to Mike.
He's good. He's a bit more of a contact hitter. He won't really be hitting too many home runs. It's really good just to have a guy who can hit that much, especially for the Twins, who in the past have been known as a more home run centric team, to have a guy that can get on base and just kind of slap him down when you really need him to.
Mm-hmm. Home runs. I don't think we even go past this. Aaron Judge, 22.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious. He's like 6'7". He's got a lot of muscle on him. If he's not hitting home runs, it's frankly surprising. But
yeah. So 22 home runs for Judge. Lastly, for stats, RBIs. Jose Ramirez has the most with 55. Solid Guardians player. What do you think about him? Solid third baseman as well.
I think RBI is a very good stat for just showing how kind of clutch your hitters are. And when you're a GM, you really want to look for those clutch hitters who will bring in runs when you really, really need them to. Because you could have a guy hitting .356 with like 20 home runs, but if he's not hitting with runners in scoring position, that's really not what you're looking for.
Yeah. And pitching, ERA, Martin Perez, a former Astro, has a 1.56 ERA. Just behind him is Tony Gonsolin.
Very good, very good. Both very great pitchers. If they can keep it up, it'd be also very great. But if they can't, it wouldn't be too unexpected because they're names that you would hear. They're names that you would hear in like a baseball statistics talking standpoint, but no one who you'd really hear from like a household name.
Yeah. Wins: Tyler Anderson and Carlos Carrasco, Tony Gonsolin, Alex Manoah, all tied for
There's a six.
Seven.
There's a six-way tie for
first. Oh, and place, Shane McClanahan as well.
And Verlander.
And my gosh, yes. All I think of all those players, I think Shane McClanahan is the most solid. Why? Most strikeouts in MLB. Tied with the most wins in MLB as like the fourth best ERA in MLB. And he's really good. I think the Rays. I think he's really good. What are your thoughts on all those seven players or six?
I know a lot of people will agree with me when I say that I don't really think wins are super telling.
Yep. Oh,
of
yeah.
How good of a pitcher you are. Because, I mean, Julio Urias had 20 wins last season, but he wasn't even as good of a pitcher as Shohei Ohtani. And, I mean, I know that guy won the unanimous MVP, but he wasn't too high up in the Cy Young Award rankings. But it was just because of those wins. But I think it was only because he had so much run support. If yep. Ohtani had that much run support, he'd most certainly have 22, 23 wins.
And even Kyle Hendricks, he had like a 4.5 ERA last year, and he had like 17, 18 wins.
Oh, yeah.
And Shane McClanahan had more strikeouts in MLB with 98, almost hitting 100 already. We're not even halfway through, and he's almost at 100. So usually most of these guys get hurt, and they don't ever be that good again. But
I really would not like to see that with Shane McClanahan.
I would not either, because he's, I think, his only second year of MLB, maybe even third. And he's really good for the Rays. And the Rays are going to need him if they're going to extend into the playoffs. So, lastly, Ayers, Ryan McCann with 11. Ryan he's an McMahon. Outfielder and a second baseman, so I don't know.
Anderson's at 2, which is really bad.
Yeah, and Jeremy Pena is right there too, Bubba Shett.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Sometimes you'll have a guy who's just great, and sometimes you'll have a guy who's not this good.
Yeah.
Brandon Crawford, I think he won. If I'm not mistaken, he won the Gold Glove last season, but he has like tied for the fifth most errors.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that really doesn't make sense at all. He must have made a lot of good plays to equal up for all his errors.
If you remember before the season on the podcast, I actually predicted that the Giants would not do nearly as good as they did last season, just because all their guys are getting so old. And I think I think it's being proven right now. They're only 4 games above 500, which from a team that won 107 games. They were the best team in the National League and all of baseball last season. You really want something more out of that, but. I think this could have been very easily predicted and very what's the word? I think it was foreshadowed by Posey leaving. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And Joey Bart. They just traded Joey Bart, so they only have Kirkosalli.
They traded him.
Yeah.
To whom?
Phillies.
Oh so wow! I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and I don't know why they did that.
They very much should have kept him.
Yeah, I mean he was only batting like 190. Oh, and lastly. Adley Rutschman, is he going to even be good this year? He's batting 194 with a triple, and that's his only hit, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he probably has a couple of hits, but he's batting 194.
I'm sure he has a couple of hits. I think he's just a rookie kind of breaking into the whole MLB, all of the new stuff, kind of trying to really find his footing. I think after like the All-Star break, maybe next season, I think he's really going to take off and he might start filling the shoes that he was expected to wear.
Now, stat leaders in the NL West, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
You mean standings leaders.
Yes, golly. NL West with the Dodgers, 37-28, plus 114 run differential. Kind of already talked about them, but anything you want to say about them?
I mean, it's kind of just expected from a team like them. I mean, they have Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, a whole bunch of good guys, and a couple of homegrown talents. And I think they could ride this very far. I mean, the Padres are only 2 games back. They're really creeping up on them. But I think they just need to run from the Padres, and they'll be fine.
So far, when I predict the NL West, every single position, I went Dodgers, Padres, Giants, Diamondbacks, and Rockies, and that's how it is in real life. That's what I predicted too. NL East, the New York Mets, 38-21, plus 64 ERA, playing really well. Their pitching is up really good as well. We really talk about every single thing possible about them, so we'll skip them. NL Central, the Milwaukee Brewers, but I think easily it should be the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals are a phenomenal team. Goldschmidt, Bader, Edmund, Arenado, Molina, Newt Barr.
So, yeah, they're only half a game back. I really think that this isn't going to be as easy for Milwaukee fans as they might have expected. Of course, their pitching is amazing, but their hitting really needs to turn it on. They're having a mid-2000s Mets type crisis because they're not hitting too well. They only have a 10 run differential while the Cardinals have a 43 run differential.
Yeah.
And they're on a 6-game losing streak.
Yeah, weird. Every single NL Central team is on a losing streak right now. But yeah, so I think the Cardinals deserve to be there. Really solid. Every single position player, I believe, won the MVP last year, or the Gold Glove. Goldschmidt.
I think like 7 of them.
Yeah, Bader, Goldschmidt, Edmund, Arenado, DeJong.
Did Molina?
Molina, that's 6. And then, I think that's 6.
Did O'Neill? O'Neill might have.
O'Neill did too, yeah, so that's 7.
A really good defensive team.
Yes.
Defense isn't something that's absolutely necessary, but when you can get a good defense from every one of your players, it's going to make it so frustrating for other teams because they could get a good ball in play, but then your outfielders make a diving catch or some very good play, and it just makes it very frustrating, and it makes you not want to have to play against teams.
That's a good point, yeah.
Very good mind games.
The AL Central, we'll do the AL Central. The Minnesota Twins in first, 33-26, plus 24 ERA. Mm-hmm. They're kind of a surprise team that's in first. Everyone thought the White Sox would be. They're having a horrible year. 26-29, the White Sox. But the Twins, with Correa, they really are playing well with some of their new ads, I guess.
I think last year was kind of a fluke. I'm expecting Minnesota to keep riding this.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago has just been very disappointing this season. I don't know if they can claw back. I'm expecting them. They might have a very nice tear, but I think they're just going to have to claw back from where they are to maybe even make wild card. They might not even make the postseason, which is very unfortunate because I've heard lots and lots of people say that they had them for their World Series.
Yeah, yeah. I had the White Sox and the Dodgers in the World Series. I knew a guy that's a professional that thought the White Sox are going to win the World Series. And, well, they have a negative 57 run differential, and they're not even in they're not even a great spot in the wild card either. They're in third in the wild card right now. And first in the AL East, New York Yankees, easily the best hitting team in baseball, at least power in baseball.
Oh, definitely. They have Stanton, they have Judge, they have Rizzo, they have Gallo.
Yeah.
All those good lefty bats.
And Gallo.
And righties.
The Rangers, MVP, all-star, moves to the Yankees and just dies.
It's really weird because for a player like him, you'd expect him to start doing a lot better because of course, the short porch in left field and the smaller outfield, but he's just not really turning it on like you'd expect him to, which is... It's a little surprising. I think he can pull it back. I think the Yankees fans are being a little too critical of him right now.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, he's batting 186 with like tons of strikeouts, but he's still a power hitter. Yeah. I think a lot of people don't think that anymore. But first in the AL West, the Houston Astros. It was the Angels by a lot, but losing 14 in a row can't really get you in first place.
No.
The Astros, 36-21, plus 45 run differential. They've pretty been in first for the past like 10 years in a row, and they've never won... Only won the World Series like once.
They've been in the first, I think, since 2017.
They've been really good. But what are your thoughts on Astros? They got Bregman, who's not doing great, but they got Alvarez, who's playing amazing. Gurriel. They got some really good players and really bad players. Pena's on a roll, too.
Yeah, it's good that they got their Correa replacement in Pena.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be a solid team. Maybe not for too much longer. I think their main core of guys is getting a little bit too old for my liking, but I think maybe they have about one or two good seasons left in them.
Yeah, and I didn't realize the A's only have 20 wins. They're one of the worst teams in baseball right now.
Oh yeah, the A's suck. The entire AL West is kind of not doing too good.
Yeah,
the Rangers were expected to be very good with all their $500 million middle infield. They're not even at 500. The Angels started off very strong. They lost 14. Now they're three games below 500. Seattle was a couple people's World Series or division winning.
Yeah, oh yeah. Pick,
mm-hmm. But they're five games below 500. Really, just the whole AL West is imploding except mm-hmm. for the Astros.
And yeah, so that's about it on this podcast. Anything else you want to say?
That's all the divisions. I think watching this season is going to be just very fun. I feel like there's going to be a lot of close races and a lot of tension,
oh, yeah.
especially going later into the season.
Okay, I'm so very excited for it. Found something else we could talk about. American League, who deserves to win the Cy Young for you?
Too early. I want to see Nestor. It's fun. He's a good guy to watch. He's a fan favorite. I think if the fans were voting, Nestor would definitely win it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good players. Verlander's doing good. McClanahan. I think if Cortez can keep it up, he's definitely going to win it. But I don't really know how plausible that is.
And I think McClanahan easy.
You think McClanahan?
If I was a journalist and I was voting for the Cy Young, I would vote McClanahan the all way. Easy. Verlander even had some votes, and he really is playing solid as well. Martin Perez too. Okay, so first National League, Joe Musgrove is in first place with Cy Young votes. But who do you think? You got Musgrove, Alcantara, Burns, Lopez, Hader, Fried, Rodon.
Yeah, there's a lot of good guys. I don't think Hader's gonna win it just because it's a reliever. It's very hard to win as a reliever. Burns is good. If he can heat up just a little bit, he's gonna be right up there. I think I'm gonna have to take Alcantara.
Yeah, okay.
He's pitching a lot of innings. He's doing very, very well in those innings.
He pitched 9 innings of scoreless baseball.
He pitched an almost complete late game shutout. They went into extras, but they still ended up getting the win.
Yeah. Well, 48 innings, he has a 0.56 ERA. I was second most strikeouts in baseball. I mean, I have no problem with that. I think Joe Musgrove, he almost had a no-hitter, but he can't hold on to that. He's old. He had a bad ERA last year. I guess he did have a no-hitter, but no, he's not good. I think Alcantara is a very good pick.
I think Alcantara all the way.
Yeah. So the Marlins are lucky to have him. They have a low budget. And, believe that's about it. I don't know.
I think just like what I said earlier, watching this entire season is going to be very, very entertaining, and I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to this more than ever because 2020 was horrible. 2021, you're still getting used to the season, so you're not too comfortable. 2022, there's a lockout, and now you're back to the season. Hopefully by 2023 or 24, even 25, MLB baseball will be top sports in the world.
I think it's going to be great.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on, Campbell. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Please take more listens, share this podcast, and thank you.